Happy Mother's Day. We are celebrating you today, mothers. You know, as I went around this morning, I would meet what I assume were moms. I hope all of you had children. If not, I apologize. But I greeted most women that I met this morning with Happy Mother's Day, and about a third of you said Happy Mother's Day to me. And that's okay, because we are celebrating mothers today. I'm a part of that celebration. It is just such a joy to be able to recognize those who have had such a profound impact on our lives. And, you know, I realize that for some of you today, today's probably a difficult day. For some of you, this is your first Mother's Day without your mom, because she's gone home to be with the Lord this year. And our heart goes out to you. My wife experienced that same thing a couple of years ago. Her mom died just before Mother's Day in 2017, and it was a difficult day for her. So I know some of you are experiencing that, and we just pray for you today. Some of you are here this morning and just overwhelmed with the fact that you may have a wayward child, and you don't know what you're going to do about that, and you just continue to trust the Lord with that. And so I know that's a difficulty for you as a mom. Some of you, as hard as it is to imagine, may have experienced the loss of a child this year, something a mom never thinks she's going to have to endure in her life. And all these and many other situations I know you may find yourself in this morning, but we celebrate mothers today. And the fact that you are here today is an indication that you're trusting God to use this day to first remind you, if you have lost your mom, remind you how blessed you were to have her the years that you did, but to remind you how loved you are as we fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ, how all of us are important in God's kingdom. And so we just want to join together today to celebrate Mother's Day. I want to commend you for being here today. Again, I know it's a difficult day, and we just want this to be uplifting to you and be a blessing to you as you realize that Jesus Christ loves you and He draws you to Himself on a daily basis. We realize that being a mother is no easy task, and if I were to ask the men if we believe that's an easy task, hopefully none of us would raise our hands if we have been eyewitnesses to all that a mom does. But experts tell us that by the time a child reaches 18 years of age, a mother had to handle some 18,000 extra hours of child-generated work. 18,000 hours. Multiply that by the number of children the Lord has blessed you with. Some of you surpass 50,000. A few of you may even reach 100,000 hours, extra hours dedicated to your children. You know, we haven't got a clue. Dads will come up to you and say, "You sure do look tired. What have you been doing?" That's a dumb question to ask a mom. Don't ever ask that question. We have no clue all that they do. Some of you may remember a show on back a few years ago entitled Kids Say the Darndest Things. When kids were asked about these questions about their mothers, listen to these responses. Why did God make mothers? To help us get out of there when we were being born. How did God make mothers? God made my mom just like He made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world with one dab of mean. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know. I wasn't there, but I would think that she was probably pretty bossy. What did your mom need to know about your dad before she married him? This is my favorite. Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drug and yes to chores? Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a whole lot. Who's the boss at your house? Mom doesn't want to be, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. What does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't do spare time. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Well, on the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, probably some kind of plastic surgery. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? I'd make mom smarter. Then she'd know it was my sister that did it and not me. Well, we do want to recognize all of our moms. I'm going to ask both here and in the Christian Life Center if all of our moms will stand today, and we just want to recognize you and thank the Lord for you. I want to share this simple poem. Mom, stand right now. Amen. And remain standing while I read this poem, please, if you can. Your love, I know, I've seen your tears you've given to my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall, for you held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You show me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. To spite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spreads your gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Mothers, we celebrate you today. We love you. We honor you this Mother's Day. Thank you. Now, moms, when you leave today, you're going to get a special little gift. And I think we kind of upped the bar this year. Now, I know Warren always makes jokes about the cheap little gifts that we give moms, but I think this is pretty good. This is a coaster that you can use, and it says, Mothers, Beautiful, Beloved, and Blessed. So every mom today, when you leave, you will receive that gift from us as a small token of our appreciation for you. Well, most of you here this morning are quite familiar with the name Tim Tebow. He's known by most sports fans as the former quarterback for the Florida Gators. We got any Gator fans here this morning? I didn't think so. Okay, good. Go Dogs. Go Dogs. I think there are some over in the Christian Life Center, though I'll probably hear about that. But anyway, Tim Tebow won the Heisman Trophy in 2007. He was drafted by the Denver Broncos in the first round of the 2010 NFL Draft. Played 5 years in the league, and he's now trying his hand at professional baseball as an outfielder with the New York Mets, AAA affiliate in Syracuse, New York. For members here at Pleasant Valley South, Tim is also known for the foundation that bears his name, which sponsors the Night to Shine Special Needs Prom, which we have had the privilege of hosting here for the last few years. However, on this Mother's Day, Tim Tebow's notoriety is going to be accredited to the blessing of being the son of Pam Tebow. There are many people who've had an impact on Tim Tebow's life, had a part in molding him into the man he is today, but none to the extent of that of his mother. In the foreword of the book his mom recently authored titled Ripple Effects, Tim describes his mom as truly one of my biggest heroes. He wrote, "The only reason I'm here today is because mom gave me a chance. 31 years ago, when she was pregnant with me and really sick, a doctor told her I was nothing but a mass of fetal tissue." As the story goes, Tim's parents were missionaries on the southern Philippine island of Mindanao in the 1980s when she became pregnant with Tim. She almost immediately began developing complications and went to the best doctor in the area to seek his diagnosis and his counsel. In her book, Pam writes, "I was told to abort my son because he was a tumor and I would likely die if I carried him. But I chose to trust God for my life and the life of my child that we had prayed for by name. For most of my pregnancy, I was very sick and had no medical care while Timmy fought to survive in the womb. Yet, in what the doctor called the biggest miracle he had ever witnessed, we both survived. Our baby boy was now malnourished, though, so we asked our family and friends to pray that he would grow big and strong, and God certainly answered their prayer and mine." Tim Tebow concludes his tribute to his mom with these words, "Not only did my mom give me a chance at life, but through her example, she also gave me a chance to live my best. She cared for me and my four siblings through her love for Jesus. She engrafted the Word of God into our hearts by singing Bible verses to us. She loved us selflessly, even when life was hard. Mom was always encouraging, cheering for me from the sidelines, encouraging me after losses, and humbling me after wins. The impact Mom had on me and my brothers and sisters is almost indescribable. No words can adequately express the depth of her love, the power of her example, the strength of her spirit, the beauty of her soul, and her commitment to God in words and in action. Time and time again throughout my life, I've seen God show up through my mom's willingness and her leaps and sometimes her tiny steps of faith. Tim Tebow attributes the effectiveness and the influencing power of his mom to the fact that she was and still is a woman of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our text this morning, we're introduced to another mother of faith whom God used to positively affect her son. It's my prayer as we look at this story this morning that the Lord will encourage every mother here this morning with the truth that greatness in motherhood, listen to this, is not determined by superhuman, unrealistic expectations, but rather by a living faith in an awesome, powerful, ever-present, all-sufficient God. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23. Once you've located that passage, I invite you to stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word together. Hebrews 11, 23. I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, God, for this time to take your word, Lord, and use your word as an encouragement to mothers and to all of us today. And God, we just pray that, Lord, you will forgive my sins, for they're many. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Use me, Lord, to boldly proclaim your word and do the work in every life that's present here today that you desire to do, Father. So we just commit the results to you. Thank you in advance, God, for what you're going to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in this first verse, or this verse for Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews credits Moses' unnamed parents with great faith. And it was demonstrating by their acts of hiding him for 3 months and also not being afraid of the king's command. Now, even in the book of Exodus, and I'm going to ask you now to turn to Exodus chapter 2, where the rest of our story will come from today. Exodus 2. But even in the book of Exodus, where the story of Moses' birth and early pilgrimage is described for us in detail, his parents' names are withheld until chapter 6, where they are listed in the genealogy of Moses and Aaron as Amram, their father, and Jochebed, their mother. Now, how many of you knew before we said that Jochebed was the mother of Moses? Raise your hand if you would. Okay, all right, that's a fair, yeah, because most people won't. And I think it's intentional, you know, to see a mother of faith and to see how she exercised that faith and blessed the children that God had placed in her care. I think it's important that she wasn't named initially. Because why? Because all of you mothers can relate to that. You know, when we look at motherhood, and I know, you know, I preached quite a few Mother's Day messages, and I've been guilty myself of setting the bar so high that most mothers would say, well, that was totally discouraging because I can never reach that height as a mom. Well, today we see that Jochebed's value as a mom was dependent on not on her own efforts, but what? Her faith. Her faith in God to see her through. And that's what God requires of all of us, right? And especially as we focus on mothers today, it was her faith. Not that Amram wasn't a wonderful father, because I'm sure he was, but the real hero of faith here is Jochebed, and we're going to focus on her this morning. Let me speak to you fathers for just a moment. How many of you would admit that many times you get credit for accomplishments that your wife really had more to do with it than you. Come on, you old so-and-so. Raise your hand. There you go. That's right. We got to give credit where credit's due, right? We need to do that. And most of the time, guys, we're not real good at that. We like to be lifted up, and sometimes we leave our wife on the sideline when she's really more responsible for it than we are. We need to make sure that we honor them. You know, you can do this when you're standing up here. I'm going to exercise a little pastoral privilege this morning. Y'all okay with that? Well, you will be after I finish if you're not now. Now, my wife may not be, but you will. I just want to say, and I'll hear about that. I may not have any lunch today, but I need to fast for a few meals anyway. But my wife, God blessed me with a wife that was one of the greatest moms that I have ever had the opportunity to witness ministering to the children that God placed in her care, our care, but she did most of it. You know, God blessed us with two beautiful daughters. I'm so thankful for them. They now are 38 and 35, and I know you say you don't look that old, but I really am. But in their informative years, a lot of times I wasn't around. And my wife, God used her to shape and mold those young lives in a way that was just so awesome. And I am thankful for Janet. And Janet, I know you don't like the attention, but I can do that because I'm up here this morning. But I am so thankful that God blessed me with a mother of faith. And God has honored her efforts through the years. Her daughters, they love both of us, but they adore their mom. And I'm just so thankful that I have had the privilege to witness. Just for example, this morning, my mom is on a cruise. And she won't be getting back till tonight. So, you know, in a guy's mind, I'm like, well, you know, it don't matter if I don't get her a card or anything because she's not even going to be back till the end of Mother's Day, you know. And I can tell her later on, you know, she knows how much I love her, right? Lisa says, no, that's right. My wife this morning, she said, honey, do you, you know, I think it'd be a good idea. She said, I've got these two Mother's Day cards. If you would write one, write a note on the one, pick out one you want to give your mom, write it out. And we'll go by and leave it on her bar there in her apartment. So when she comes in from her cruise today, which will be later on tonight, she'll see this card from you and just think what an awesome son you are. I would never even thought of that if it hadn't been for her. All right, Janet, I'm finished. You can look back up now. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Turn to Exodus chapter 2. I want us to see four demonstrations of a mother of faith from the life of Jochebed, Moses' mother. First of all, notice that a faithful mother recognizes the God-given potential in her children. A faithful mother recognizes the God-given potential in her children. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, in order for us to fully understand what's going on here, we need to understand a little bit of the historical background. You know, Israel and Egypt began when Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. You remember that story from the book of Genesis? Through a series of God-ordained events, he ended up in Egypt and over time became second in command over the whole land of Egypt, just right under Pharaoh. Well, a severe famine struck the entire ancient world, and Joseph's father, upon hearing that there was grain in Egypt, sent Joseph's brothers there to purchase food for their families. Upon their arrival in Egypt, the brothers came face to face with their long-lost sibling, even though they did not recognize him, and he was in charge of the distribution of the grain in the land. Eventually, you know the story, following a series of trials initiated by Joseph, which brought to mind to his brothers what they had, the terrible thing they had done to their brother years ago. But he identified himself to them and set in motion the events which would bring his entire family to live in Egypt. God preserved them there. Now, at the time of Moses' birth, Israel had been in Egypt for 350 years. During this time, God's promise to Abraham to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the heaven began to come to pass. They grew from 70 going into Egypt to over 2 million people in 350 years. Exodus 1:7 tells us that the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Well, the new Pharaoh in Egypt didn't know Joseph, came fearful of Israel's great numbers. He forced the Hebrews into hard labor as slaves. And in an effort to control the population, he gave the edict that every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. That leads us up to the time of Moses. Now, Jochebed bore Moses into a culture that was hostile to Hebrew boys. It was a terrible time to be a male Hebrew infant, because most of them got thrown into the river and drowned. The very fact that his eyes were open was a death sentence from Pharaoh for little Moses. Just imagine how difficult it would be for Jochebed to hide her infant from the Egyptian officials who were all looking for these male infants so that they could drown them. But she hid him for 3 months. You know, we all know when infants want something, what do? New mothers, because you hear it a lot these days, they let it be known loudly. And we know that every time he got hungry, every time he needed changing, every time he needed some attention, he would let it be known. And for Jochebed, that was horrible, because she was just afraid that any moment the officials would come in and take her son from her. Verse 2 tells us that Jochebed saw that he was a beautiful child, not only referring to his outward appearance, but also she realized of his God-given potential. It was not unusual that she thought her baby was beautiful. All mothers think their babies are the most beautiful, right? Sure you do. An old Chinese proverb puts it this way: there's only one pretty child in the world, and every mother has it. Isn't that true? But as a faithful mother, Jochebed was able to see through eyes of faith what Moses could become. Faithful mothers know that God has a special plan for their children, determined even before they were formed in the womb. A unique plan specifically for the child that God blesses us with. Like Jeremiah, to whom God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." Almighty God always has and always will have a unique purpose for your children and a desire to lead them to fulfilling His will. So not only does a faithful mother recognize the God-given potential in her children, Jochebed also shows that a faithful mother resourcefully provides for her children's well-being. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Exodus 2. "But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him." When it became impossible to hide her baby boy any longer, and knowing what would happen to him if he was discovered by the Egyptians, Jochebed devised a plan that, in her mind, would give her baby boy the best chance for survival. You know, God gave Jochebed what she wanted the most: life for a precious son. And this is the way it came about. She first built a floating bassinet. And that's basically what that was, wasn't it? Just a bassinet that he would fit in. She placed him in that bassinet, placed it among the reeds in the Nile River near the royal bathing site where she had seen Pharaoh's daughter, no doubt, come to bathe. And then she sent her daughter Miriam to watch from a distance. Now, if Jochebed had chosen to worry — how many of y'all worry? Anybody in here worries? Okay, yeah, I think so. But if she had chosen to worry about what she should do and how she should do it and all of these things, she'd have plenty to worry about, wouldn't she? First of all, what if that little boat capsized? What if that bassinet turned over and that baby was in the Nile River? And you know what else was in the Nile River? Crocodiles. You don't think she was concerned about that? And how would she be sure that Pharaoh's daughter would find her son? And even if she did, because of the edict that her father had made, what would she do to the child? Would she go and throw him in the water and drown him as well? Although she sent Moses' sister to watch him, what could Miriam possibly do to protect Moses if they decided to kill him? Pastor Mark Vatran brought this story to life with these questions for Jochebed. What were you thinking, Jochebed? Did you weep as you wove the little basket? Did you pray as you covered the little ark with tar? Did the other children pry you with questions? Did you tell them the story of Noah and the ark that God used to save his life? Did your faith waver? Did you feel hollow from hopelessness? Did you feel weak and powerless? Did you dare to sing to your baby as you wove that little ark out of the reeds? Did you brush his little cheek one last time and kiss his little forehead before you closed the lid and sent him off? Did you dare to hope that the God you depended on had some sort of plan? Did you dare to hope that your child would see another day? Or was it all you could do but just pray and believe? Instead of choosing to worry about the potential disastrous consequences of the steps she had taken, Jochebed chose to believe in the power of God and trusted him with the results. So yes, a faithful mother recognizes the God-given potential in her children. She resourcefully provides for children's well-being. And third, a faithful mother relinquishes her children's care into the Father's hands. Relinquishes her children's care to the Father's hands. Exodus 2, verse 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. So for Jochebed, there came a time when, after she had done all she could do to save her newborn son, she had to relinquish or surrender Moses' well-being and his future into the hands of Almighty God, who was more than able to provide all that he needed in order to survive, but fully realize God's plan and purpose for his life. Not only did God provide safety and security for Jochebed's boy, he also made it possible for her to continue to care for him. And what else? What was the bonus? She got paid for taking care of her own child. Isn't that God? Isn't that what God can do? He can take our hopeless situations when we wonder how in the world this is going to be resolved and how can any good come from this, and he can turn it into good. God does cause all things to work together for good to those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose, according to Paul's writings. You know, one of my favorite New Testament verses is Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, and here Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this. "Now to him who is able to do," what? "Exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen." Yes, God gave Jochebed what she wanted the most, and that was life for her precious son. That was the bottom line. That's what she wanted. She wanted her child to be saved and to have a chance at life. But because of her faith in him, God heaped on her many other blessings more than she ever dreamed was possible. Moms, when you've done all you can do, entrusting your children into the hands of Almighty God, who has a perfect plan for their lives, who has both the resources and the will to cause it to come to pass, that's the wisest decision you'll ever make. We all, mothers and fathers alike, need to be reminded that our children really don't belong to us. Did you know that? Our children don't belong to us. They're God's children. He has entrusted them into our hands for a short time to partner with him in raising them, nurturing them, teaching them his word, living by example before, being people of faith. But they belong to him, and he can be trusted with their future. Well, we've seen from the life of Jochebed that a faithful mother recognizes the God-given potential in her children, resourcefully provides for her children's well-being, and relinquishes her children's care into the Father's hands. Finally, a faithful mother releases her children to fulfill their God-given purpose. Exodus 2:10, and the child grew and brought him, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. You know, parents, I know it's not easy to let them go. I remember when our girls were growing up, you know, the first day of school, oh my goodness, and we dropped them off there, dropped that oldest daughter off, and, you know, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to them? They're out of our care now. What in the world? What about that first time they drove by themselves? Oh my goodness. Did you worry about that? Whew. Or their first date when you wanted the guy, the daddies wanted to do away with that guy that was challenging you for your daughter's love. When they went off to college, whew, dropping them off in college. When they were married, relinquishing them into the Father's care. Believe in God that He has a purpose for their lives, and that His purpose is much better than ours. His will is so much greater than what we would will for them, and He can be trusted with them. When we realize that they belong to Him, that He has a plan and a purpose for their lives, that He'll give them all they need in order to fulfill their purpose if they'll trust Him, the natural step of releasing them to Him will be much easier. Some of you have that to look forward to. Thankfully, we have that behind us. But there's still opportunities to believe, isn't there? There's still opportunities to exercise faith. We're grandparents now. Oh my goodness, we was thinking about it yesterday. We're probably just about 10 years away from being great grandparents if we live that long. But there never comes a time when we have surrendered them into God's care, but we always pray for them. We always ask God to lead them and provide for them as He does. Hebrews 11:26 describes the long-lasting influence that Jochebed's faith had on Moses, as evidenced by the decisions he made later in life. It says here that by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. And listen, we know the rest of the story, don't we? How God used Moses to deliver the children out of Egyptian bondage, parted the Red Sea, put them on a path. If it hadn't been for their disobedience, he could have led them into the promised land, but at least put them on that path to occupy the land that was promised to Abraham hundreds of years before. Look at all that God did. And if not for Jochebed's faith, surrendering her little boy into God's hands, that probably would have never happened. We can do the same, parents and grandparents. Moms, we do celebrate you today. We thank the Lord for you in our lives and all that you do. I pray that you're encouraged by this story today. You know, you may be facing a great trial today. I don't know where you are in your life. Your family may be facing a serious crisis, but I assure you, God's bigger than all of this. And none of it takes God by surprise. He can be trusted with your lives, the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your families. God's trustworthy. Pharaoh's plan was to kill Moses. God had a bigger plan. Jochebed, she had no way of knowing what God was going to do, but she trusted Him anyway. She knew Him personally. She trusted Him. Today, you know, we always end our services with a time of invitation. This is a time for you, as God's Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart over the scripture that we looked at, what the Holy Spirit may have said to you this morning. The invitation time is a time for you to respond. There's no pressure. But it's an opportunity for you to let the Holy Spirit of God examine your heart. You know, for some moms here today, and you wondered, how can I be a mother of faith? It starts with simple faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.